all this week, we're going to be focusing on one of the greatest health problems facing the U.S. and the world. That would be obesity. Since the 1980s, the percentage of obese people in the world has more than doubled. This week in our series, which is called America on the Scale, we're going to hear what this means for healthcare costs, how the food industry is involved, and how individuals are dealing with obesity. But we're going to start today with the raw numbers, where the most people are affected. Joining us now are two people who follow this issue very closely, Allison Aubrey, who's NPR's health and food correspondent. She's in Washington. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Jeremy.
And Dr. Bruce Lee, who's the director of the Global Obesity Prevention Center at Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Lee, welcome to you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And Allison, I want to start with you. There are a lot of parts to this story, but what is obesity, first of all? How is it defined medically?
Sure. Well, obesity is typically indicated or measured by body mass index. So your body mass index is a measure of body fat based on your weight in relation to your height. There are cutoffs given. So a BMI of 30 or greater is considered obese. Now, to put that in perspective, a 5'3" woman would need to weigh about 170 pounds or so to be classified as obese, whereas a 5'10" person would need to weigh about 210 pounds to put them in the obese range.
And you could be overweight without being obese.
That's right. So a BMI of 25 to 29 is considered overweight. So that same 5'3" woman would need to be about 140 pounds to be at the beginning of that overweight category.
And when we hear the phrase obesity epidemic thrown around, how much of a problem is this in the U.S. at this point?
Well, as a country, it seems we're kind of stuck. Overall, obesity rates have continued to inch up. The overall prevalence of obesity in the three-year period ending last year was just over 36%. This means about one in three adults in the U.S. are obese. This compares to 27% back in 1999. This goes on given the drumbeat that we've all heard to eat healthier and get more physical exercise. Now, one note of optimism here is that the CDC has found in its most recent report issued last month that in the last 2 years of its analysis, the changes were so slight that they're not statistically significant. So a bit of a leveling off.
But what about when you look at the regions of the U.S.? Are there big differences regionally in terms of obesity rates?
Well, I'm looking at a map here, and I see that rates of obesity exceed 35% in three states, Arkansas, West Virginia, Mississippi, and 22 states have a rate of about 30%. Now, the heaviest states tend to be in the South and the Midwest, but I should point out that even in the relatively trim states, take California, for example, about one in four people, or 25% of people, are obese.
And what about demographics? What are the differences there, and also in terms of age, young and old?
Sure. I mean, the picture is a little more promising when you start talking about American youth. Far fewer youth are obese than adults. The overall obesity rate among people 2 to 19, that's a big range, is about 17%. So that's half of what the adult obesity rate is. And, we reported a couple of years ago that obesity rates among preschoolers have been declining in many states around the country. And this has been heralded as sort of a tipping point here. So there's optimism that among the youngest Americans, the obesity epidemic is starting to flatten out.
Well, Allison, stand by. I want to bring in Dr. Bruce Lee of the Global Obesity Prevention Center at Johns Hopkins. Dr. Lee, as you look at the global picture, how much of the world's population is considered obese?
Yeah, it's becoming an increasing problem worldwide. There's been a transition over the past decade where many countries where undernutrition was a problem. Now we're finding obesity is a problem as well. Many different countries, obesity rates are well over 20%, in some cases close to 30%. And it's been increasing in every part of the world.
But I know that the U.S., at least in the past, has been considered the most obese nation in the world. Is that still the case?
Depending on which statistics you look at, Mexico may be first or second, and other countries such as Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Ireland, there are a number of other countries that are close to the United States in terms of obesity rates.
And why is that? Do you get a sense of why some places have higher obesity rates and why some places do not?
Well, that's a big question. I mean, there's a lot of thoughts and theories behind what are the systems that are leading to increasing obesity. Some of the possible causes are The change in food systems around the world, we're seeing more and more processed foods in different parts of the world, high calorie, high salt, high sugar foods. There's been decreases in physical activity throughout the world. There's been questions of what role the environment plays in terms of affecting obesity. Studies have shown different types of medications, such as antibiotics or ADHD medications may be associated with increases in childhood obesity. So it's a very complex problem, and we're seeing a complex set of factors that are changing throughout the world.
Is there any place in the world that is doing a good job at preventing obesity?
Well, if you look at the statistics, there's some countries where obesity rates have been historically fairly low, parts of Southeast Asia, North Korea has a very low rate, certain parts of Africa. Now, that raises several questions. One is we're not sure what the sampling has been in some of these locations. And also, even places where we see low obesity rates historically, they have been increasing. So there isn't an exemplary country where we can say, okay, yeah, they're really taking care of the obesity epidemic. It seems like almost every place is affected, or we need more information about how they're doing.
Which means we move from a system of trying to prevent, in a way, to trying to deal with the problem that exists, or at least that's one big part of what has to be done. Allison, I imagine that means just very high healthcare costs at this point.
Absolutely. The price tag attached to obesity is huge, according to a recent study published in the journal Health Affairs. The obesity epidemic carries a $117 billion medical price tag. And clearly, as most people are aware, obesity is not a cosmetic problem. Being obese increases the risk of many health problems and the risk of many diseases, including heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and stroke. So clearly, lots of costs associated with being obese.
And does all the money that's being spent to try to deal with obesity actually lead to any significant gains in fighting obesity?
Well, I mean, looking at the numbers so far, I would say not yet. I mean, I think what you have to keep into perspective here is that when you're talking about turning around an obesity epidemic, you're talking about turning around decades of ingrained behaviors, right? So Dr. Lee mentioned, you know, for instance, a move to processed foods and, you know, salty, sugary, high-fat foods. I mean, this is the way people have been eating for the last three decades, and you don't kind of snap your fingers and say, okay, you know, tomorrow everyone's going to wake up and drink kale smoothies all day. It doesn't happen like that. So if you think about what happens year to year, say a person, an adult puts on a pound or two a year. Over a decade, that's 20 pounds. So the obesity epidemic is one of kind of small increases over time, and it's hard to get people moving in that downward direction.
Dr. Lee, if you could snap your fingers and have the government or somebody do something about this that would make a big difference, what would it be?
Yeah, I think it's not just a single the government steps in and says, okay, we're going to take care of the obesity epidemic. I think first, everyone has to recognize that this is a major problem. It's not an individual behavior problem. It's not just telling people, okay, well, you should eat less and exercise more. Because there are a lot of things going around the social milieu, the environment. One can also look at access to healthy foods versus unhealthy foods. And when I talk about access, I don't mean just geographic access, but also mean social and economic access. That's one of the reasons why people have been talking about taxes on sugar-sweetened beverages and other types of unhealthy foods. There can be economic disparities in terms of how expensive or how costly it can be to eat healthy, and people don't even realize it.
You know, what's interesting about the kinds of solutions out there, if you look at the body of evidence that's growing, you see a couple of different things. I'm going to point to one. They were looking at how to prevent diabetes, type 2 diabetes. So about 10 years ago, researchers recruited a whole bunch of people who didn't yet have type 2 diabetes but were at risk of it either because of their body weight or because they had elevated blood sugar. And they put them in a group setting and they said, hey, look, we're going to teach you a new way to eat. We're going to teach you some new tricks for physical activity. We're going to give you counseling. We're going to kind of make this a new lifestyle for you. We're not going to put you on a diet, but we're going to help you sort of gradually move to this new lifestyle. And it was very successful. If you give people the right tools for changing their diet, the right tools for getting exercise into their life, and you sort of put them in a group setting for support, those are the kinds of things that can be successful.
That's NPR's Allison Aubrey, who covers food and health for NPR. We've also been speaking with Dr. Bruce Lee, director of the Global Obesity Prevention Center at Johns Hopkins University, as we kick off our series on obesity. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And the conversation continues online at hereandnow.org. Tomorrow, we will continue our series, America on the Scale, with three very different stories of people living with obesity, including one person who recently went from 600 pounds down to 350.
I was just never taught moderation growing up, and so I could binge on whatever I really wanted. It wasn't until last year when I hit my peak weight that I really just decided that I didn't like this quality of life.
But as we will hear, not everybody believes losing weight is the right solution.
I went to one last Weight Watchers meeting and really had no interest in the level of self-loathing and left the meeting, canceled my membership, and haven't really looked back.
Those conversations and more starting tomorrow on Here and Now, and you can leave your thoughts at hereandnow.org.